Guys, we're about halfway through the episode, and I have a hard right turn I want to make.
I'm really glad you went with a different series of words than I was expecting you to do when you first started that sentence.
We're about halfway through this episode, and I have to take a major poop.
Let's jam. Get everybody and their stuff together.
You just been jammed.
And there it is.
I'm Kyle.
Welcome to Sit Sock. I'm Kendrick.
And I'm Kevin.
And welcome
Joe
to Sit Sock
is
again.
In absentia today because he is on vacation, but due to coordination issues, we were unable to record another episode. And so in order to keep you lovely, beautiful listener with a constant supply of episode, we had to omit him. Also, we don't like him and we've never liked him.
If you guys thought that there was at any point that we did like Joe, you should have been listening to the podcast more.
Just pre-sus.
He was there for a filler.
Yeah.
He was there to raise the beard, like, capita, like, what is it, quota, the beard quota, per capita beard quota.
That's right.
But anyway, how's everybody doing on this blessed corona-filled day of nightmare fuel? The latest of many.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm kind of getting to the point where I want to take an antibody test just to see if I have gotten it already and not died, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people are there with you. The main reason I haven't is at the time of recording, there are no antibody tests that are, like, 100% trusted. So it's kind of, it's like, well, what if you had a false negative or a false positive or a false maybe?
But, like, the whole point is to say, like, you had it or you have antibodies or you don't, right? So it's not that you're sick, right?
No, but the antibody tests are not they don't trust them yet because they might detect antibodies from similar coronaviruses.
Yeah, I mean, but like those antibodies still might work.
What if you take like 15 of them?
Well, I mean, like
if the tests can get confused, the antibodies could probably work. They could probably overlap. I mean,
then
proteins
you're probably
are
good to go because statistically, you've probably got immunity to hundreds of coronaviruses.
Billions, even.
I don't know about billions, but at least hundreds.
Quadrillions.
Certainly not that.
Probably a Google.
Exactly seven. You have exactly seven.
At least like 2011 through 2018 or so.
Is anybody concerned about the mega flu that's coming out?
Is that like a megafauna? Is that, I mean, because if it's a flu that's like a million times bigger than a flu, I think I'll see it coming and just step on it.
Yeah, that's true. Wouldn't that be terrifying? Like,
yeah,
if that like happened, they're like a flu virus just mutated. But there's that whole. Do you know what that law is called? I don't know if it's actually a law or if it's just a scientific concept I'm attributing to a law. But like,
oh yeah, you can't scale it definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Like the reason that giant monsters don't exist is because like as you scale in as you scale in mass, you quadruple and or you like you're going up exponentially in volume or some not it's that's not what it is, but it's like
no, it's,
if you have a block like a square block and you want to quadruple its size, you like double if you double its size like double it right you double the length and double the height. You haven't actually doubled the volume, you've quadrupled the volume, or something
right.
of that nature.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, as you grow and grow and grow, a dinosaur can't be... Dinosaurs are, like, the max size of things that they could be, because there's not, like, muscles and bones that can have those volumes.
Yeah, like, so that's why if you ever see any of the muscles and bones on projected dinosaurs, they're fucking thick.
Yeah.
Because they can't have spindly legs like a dog, or like a rabbit, or, you know, like a lizard now. They have to have proportionally tree trunk legs.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you like you said, as you scale up, if you're to increase something volumetrically in three dimensions, the amount of weight that it's growing up is going up at a cubic rate. So it means
and then it goes back into like the size of the muscle. At some point, there's like the size of the muscle can never be big enough to support the volume of the muscle.
Precisely, and it's mostly bones as far as I mm-hmm. understand, because your bones can only increase at a radius as they go. So they're
cross-section.
De facto they're growing at a square as you're growing at a cube. So they're a whole factor behind. And so either they have to grow faster, which means all of a sudden you have dummy thick bones, I believe would be the correct vernacular right now.
Dummy
in which
thick?
Case,
is that like a slang
that's
for
like
super thick?
That's like when you're thick,
thick,
but then you're like really thick. You're
is it like
thick.
Two C's? Okay, gotcha.
No, three yeah. C's for sure. But
oh, shit.
Three.
Is there, you're, it's called
seven.
Dummy because thick doesn't have that many C's, so you're a dummy for using it, right?
I actually don't know, and it's probably insulting, but that's I just heard it on the internet. But yeah, so that's the idea is as those bones will start to grow, they can't grow proportionally, they'd have to grow... at a faster rate, and so before long, you're literally just leg bones.
You are a skeleton. And you're too spoopy.
Yeah, and then you can't lift them because then your muscles can't grow because your muscles will have to grow, and eventually you can't, like, the problem upscale falls apart. And then I know there's another one to do with insects can't grow above a certain size because of how they breathe. Because they have holes in their exoskeleton, I guess, for how they absorb oxygen in to handle their blood. Is it blood still? And so that requires a certain, like, gas. Like there's a certain amount of pressure change and stuff that works with gas, but as it increases, they start to leak, I guess, and it gets weird. So I heard someone explain it. I was like, wow. Also, the whole dummy thick part.
It's kind of interesting, but it also makes me really sad because, like, in my heart of hearts, I'm like I would love to believe that cryptozoology was real and that, like, stuff like that is just out there, but we haven't found it, or stuff like that.
It still can be. It just means we don't understand how it works.
And that's what I always say to myself after someone's, like, someone is, one of those people is, like, a naysayer scientist. The scientists that, like, use science to shut down fun things. Have you know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah. The whole, like, whoa, we don't have proof of that, so shut up, stop having fun.
Yeah, basically, in essence. Like, the ones that are just simply there to crush people's, like, dreams. And
it's not real.
Well, like, even if it's stuff like, yeah. At one point, and this is, like, the whole thing I get back to. At one point, everything that we understand scientifically today was viewed as, like, magic or unattainable or not real.
Yeah. So completely impossible.
The more we start to understand about things, the more we expand our ability to fathom things as well. And keeping an open mind in that sense, I think, is better as long as it's not incredibly dangerous or ethically, like, unsound, right? Like,
well,
even, like, if I cut open enough people, maybe I can figure out how to stitch them back together into a giant person. You're like, okay, that's a little crazy. Okay, mad scientist man. But,
it bears some kind of thing because, like, we understand current bones and tendons, and we assume previous bones and tendons had a similar level of strength, which, to be fair, bones are, like, most mammal bones are pretty fucking sturdy. Like, they're remarkably sturdy as far as structures are concerned, especially on the angles that they're good at. And we're taking fossils and assuming that there's a similar level of calcium density that's been replaced and fossilized, et cetera, et cetera. So we're assuming a lot, but, like, it doesn't mean that there isn't some creature out there with a substantially higher bone density or some kind of different sort of bone that maybe could handle the support better, or, you know, or something, you know. Like, there's a lot of world out there, and there's a lot of history back there. It's possible there's something we just haven't seen. Maybe it was the most delicious thing in the world, so everything else ate it. I don't know. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, it's a good point. Like a chocolate dinosaur that was bigger than all the other dinosaurs.
Right?
But dinosaurs were allergic to chocolate, so there was, like, this brief period of time where some other creature just devoured them.
Or it's like Ouroboros effect, and, like, they all ate themselves because they were so delicious.
Well, and that's all ridiculous, of course, and whatever, but, like, who's to say it didn't happen? Like, you don't know. You weren't there, man.
Yeah, I just, like, I guess here at Sidsock, I just like this to, I like to, little bit of my words, I like to keep an open mind, you know? Promote open minds.
I think that's important because things like, there's not a lot of extant textiles from certain time periods in history, because the textiles don't last that long. So you can either say, oh, well, they weren't wearing clothes back then, or you can be like, well, we don't know what they were wearing because it's gone. Or worse, fabric and paints deteriorate over time. So we have a lot of drab clothes from certain time periods, and it's starting to come to light that those mostly faded from exposure to sunlight and oxidation and stuff. And so realistically, some of the clothes that now we think might have been drab might have actually been ridiculously vibrant and stupidly obnoxious. Like, another one is the Roman statues that are all this elegant white marble, right? We're like, oh, so look at this. They're evocative of the shape, but without any coloration. And they're finding, like, the history. If you look at those pores, they painted them up like garish fucking clown masks. So all of those, like, gorgeous sculptures that you see now from those times of antiquity, they probably painted them up like fucking paint by number bullshit. Like, they were almost certainly garishly, stupidly, brightly painted. And you're like, oh, well, I guess that aesthetic isn't what we thought it was.
Yeah.
But
or
how
like,
can you,
you
know,
know
if the paint washes away? You'll never
the
know.
The whole, like, dinosaurs with feathers thing. It's, like, a pretty common one, right? Like, for a long time, even in Jurassic Park, when that movie first came out, we were still convinced that dinosaurs were not as
scaly.
Feathered as they... Yeah, it's more scaly. And then as we kind of kept learning and opening our minds and learning things, it, you know, I'm explaining this like a five-year-old, but basically we figured out that feathers on dinosaurs happened, and then the feathers were part of the new dinosaur models.
Well, it starts to make sense. You're like, oh, maybe they did have feathers, because it's like, it's conjecture anyway, but you're like, where are the scales? You'd think you'd find evidence of scales if they were hard and chitinous or whatever. But yeah.
Chitinous?
Chitins. Chitlins?
Chitlins.
Chitlins?
They were covered in chitlins.
They were covered in chicklets?
Like, yeah, they're little gum pieces?
Yeah, they were. That's exactly.
That's where those
it.
Came from. Actually, Chicklets just uses like dinosaur fossils.
Yeah, that's why you don't see much anymore. They ran out.
Yeah.
That's why. That's little why they were made of chocolate, right? Covered in chiclet. That's part of why that you can't find any evidence.
That makes total
they
sense.
They ate each other.
Prove me wrong,
guys.
Science.
Guys, we're about halfway through the episode, and I have a hard right turn I want to make.
I'm really glad you went with a different series of words than I was expecting you to do when you first started that sentence.
We're about halfway through this episode, and I have to take a major poop, so we can have no.
No, it was more like, I have a hard...
I have a hard on I need to show you. Can we talk about dinosaurs a little bit longer? I need 2 more minutes.
Okay.
And their chiclet skin.
No, I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke!
I need him to finish what he's doing.
Talk about your hard on.
Well, some people in our... We have a friendly little Discord channel that we use amongst our group of friends.
No, you can't come in.
People, yeah, you guys aren't allowed. Some people were talking about video games today, and I know we've talked about video games a bunch, but you know, bear with me. We talked about dinosaurs for half the episode, so chill out. I was wondering. I wanted to kind of retouch on this whole this phenomena is what I'm going to call it of
phenomena.
Of what I see as a larger thing, but it's personifying itself right now in the video game world, or you know, I'm thinking of it right now. So, a lot of there's this tear between producing games like these mega 5-star games, like that one game where you play an Amazon delivery guy in the future trying to deliver a baby that I can't remember the name of.
Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Versus Among Us, like games. Those are like that's like. One of the bigger juxtapositions I think I can make if you held a gun to my head right now, right? Among Us is a $5 game that's sometimes free, that has a ton of replayability, and is a game that has a lot of interest from various parties. Death Stranding is a game that's like this amazingly beautiful looking game that is like verging very, very deeply into the Uncanny Valley, in my opinion. And it's got this crazy, convoluted kind of Christopher Nolan-esque story going on with it. And it's this futuristic style and things like that. But, like, I wonder, like, sometimes you see these things and it's like, how are these two things so successful in such opposite ends of the spectrum? And B, where are people in the industry making games like Death Stranding for people who don't want to play them anymore? Like, is the video game industry falling behind in what people want? Or do you feel like we feel like enough people still play all those really fancy like 5-star games, even though like that's it, I guess. Do we feel like enough people still play those that the like $1 billion video game development companies should still be a thing? You know, like,
I think there's 2 points that I want to make to counter those. One is that Among Us is 2 years old.
Is it really?
Yeah. Apparently.
I can come up with another game, entitled Goose Game.
No. This is a fine example.
Okay.
I think it's two years old, and I Future Kendrick, record over now if you need to correct that, because I'm going to keep acting as if it is.
It's
silent gap
7 years old.
Yeah, no, and it's now big. It wasn't big, but it's got big now because a bunch of YouTubers started playing it. And now it got so big that they canceled the sequel they were going to make. And instead are going to focus on just fixing up this one. So I think that it's important to remember that indie, not necessarily, they're indie, they're small. They can live with that kind of thing because this game suddenly got popular, and that's one of the reasons they have so many server issues, is they're still kind of catching up.
Same with Fall Guys.
Well, yeah. Fall Guys is new, though, right?
Okay,
so
let's do Fall Guys instead of Among Us.
No.
I wanted to
talk about Among Us because that's something that's worth noting. if you had a AAA title that took 2 years to take off, it would never work.
Destiny.
Yeah, I know. No Man's game has Sky. To. I was gonna say the game has no to take Sky. Off to count, yep. right? Because yep. those well, games no Man's still Sky. Haven't taken off, right?
You don't think No Man's Sky has? There's people streaming it all the time.
Yeah, I thought it fizzled though, didn't it?
It did at first. At first. It's just like yeah. Final Fantasy 14 too. The first Final Fantasy 14 failed miserably, and then they remade it into A Realm Reborn, and now it's one of the most popular MMOs. That, but it the game was still Final Fantasy 14, right? And it had right. a lot of the fundamentals. They just shifted and.
But here's the thing: is they had to double down and basically yeah. redo the game.
Well, yeah, and that's
Among Us
Sky
just
too.
was sitting around just thumbing their butts, like, well, I guess I'll make the next game. And they're like, guys, the servers are on fire. And you're like, but what? People are playing it. And then all of a sudden, it took off, right? And so I think that's agility and the fact that they were able to then cancel their next game and focus on it at a moment's. Not, I mean, it feels like a moment's notice, but. That's the kind of stuff that those small indie teams can do, so they can really address a niche market or a niche concept. Like you mentioned Untitled Goose Game or Fall Guys. These are both like highly super focused gameplay models. Like Untitled Goose Game, what do? Fuck with people as a goose. Game over. What's the DLC? I don't know. More goose fucking with abilities? What's the
a
online
brown goose?
Play? Yeah. Like it's simplistic at its core. And it does the simple thing well. Mm-hmm. Fall Guys, it's a little bit more complicated, but it's basically Battle Royale without the battle. Right? And it's goofy game show Royale. Very simple premise, and they just do it well. They just make it work. And then Among Us is another fine example. It's actually a little bit more complicated, but it's essentially...
Among Us is actually incredibly intricate.
It's very sophisticated, but... Yeah. As a concept, it's a social identity guessing game, like those kinds of games, like Werewolf or whatever else. But there's enough stuff to occupy your brain to where you can't actually focus on the social guessing part. That's their shtick. I think that's the secret sauce. Because think about it. Among Us wouldn't be that difficult if you didn't have to keep track of your tasks, keep track of who you thought vented, keep track of the fact that you don't get player names, you just have colors. Keep track of, like, the limited visibility you have. Like, if it was just, like, Werewolf, where you just, oh, everyone's awake now, somebody died, you can focus entirely on the guessing and the mechanics and be like, oh, well, wait a minute, if Kendrick was here and then he was there before and he looks kind of funny, but they took that out and they're like, no, you gotta do that while you're doing jumping jacks and you also have to count down from 100 by numbers of 7 and also you have to carry these things up a hill and... Having
yeah,
all
it's,
those
it's a,
tasks.
It's a good translation of where Werewolf went in board games as well. I mean, a lot of social deduction board games nowadays strayed away from you'd close your eyes, someone touches your shoulder. Now it's like you're trying to build a. Like one of them is called. What is it called? The dark, not Dark Age of Camelot. It has something to do with Camelot. But basically, you're in Arthur's court, right? And one person's playing, like, the dissenter who's trying to fuck up all the tasks you're doing. So, like, you take turns, like, performing tasks, building up Camelot, but there's always someone there in the background doing shady shit. So, right. Like, Among Us did a really good job of translating those really cool, like, hidden traitor mechanics from like, board games and other hidden traitor games into, like, a very kind of, like, cartoony fun, like...
Exactly.
Like,
and the trick was they didn't... overdo it. They didn't make it into an overwrought Death Stranding level of development stuff where you introduce, when you add all that complexity, you add the capacity for shit to go wrong. And Fall Guys and, well, if I say Fall Guys and Among Us both, shit goes wrong a lot. Those games crash, they fail, there's bugs, there's issues, but it never feels like the stakes are very high.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, game crashed, oh no. But then if, like, Death Stranding game crashed, you lost your game, you would be fucking livid.
Actually, I would say more like in these games, like these loot-based grinders, right? Marvel Avengers, Borderlands, Destiny, stuff like that, where you've basically entered a giant gambling machine, right? You're playing a game, the game has a chance to do something, and it's got RPG elements to it, right?
Yep.
Like, those games, that kind of behavior is even more infuriating, because a standalone single-player game having issues... I feel like sucks, but it's not as impactful as it is when you're competing with people in directly or indirectly, like you are in like potentially Borderlands in PvP modes and you know, just in general in a loop grind.
Right.
In or in a game like Destiny where you do have an illegitimate PvP and things like that. So like I guess maybe that's something to think about too, is like the quality of a game on release being that bad for the style of game it is. There's different thresholds, right? For different types of games, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like certain games can have higher thresholds because of the nature of their game. And certain games should have no threshold. Like Fallout being bugged, it's kind of fun. Like when Fallout, right, like you who, play Fallout,
it's part of the game.
Uh-huh. Or Skyrim, like people shooting off into the air, and you're like, ah, crap! I gotta reload my save. I just lost all my items because I tried to shoot a dragon, and a dude hit me, and I flew up into the dragon's mouth and ripped in half.
I feel like
which happens
now. Yeah, absolutely. Now in like today's game market, it's all over the place though. Mm-hmm. Like as you can get say Fortnite for free, right? But then people make gobs of money off of the little like stuff you can buy in game, right? Then you jump up a little bit and you get Among Us, $5, unlimited replayability. You jump up a little bit more and you get like $10, 10 hours worth of gameplay games. Then you go to like 25 and you get Dead Cells and you can play it for like 300 hours. Then you go up to say like $60 and you could buy Link's Awakening on the Switch, right? And it's like a 10-hour game. But people are cool with paying $60.
Nostalgia games is another thing I want to talk
about. Yeah, nostalgia is huge. Yeah, nostalgia is huge, that for sure. But then you have like, I mean, a lot of those AAA games really don't take that long to beat, like 10, 15, 20 hours. And you pay like a full $60. So it's like, where's that line drawn where they need to start dropping the price for playtime, you know? Versus raising the price for playtime? I don't know.
And it kind of gets into that other thing, too. Like you said, Fortnite's free, but people make gobs of money on all the microtransactions. Like,
yep.
That style is infiltrating more and more games. I mean, it's even in Among Us, technically. Like,
yeah.
It's only for aesthetic items. Like, Team Fortress did it and did it right, in my opinion. But, like...
That's because they invented it, and they perfected it, so that they could test you on the field of microtransactions.
And like, but like, then you have games like the games I play on my phone where they're very heavily microtransaction based, and a lot of new games, like even this new Marvel's Avengers game, has an in-game currency in a marketplace. You can buy, spend real money on in-game on an in-game currency form that lets you buy stuff from a market. Like, it's mostly aesthetic stuff, though, right? But yeah, it's interesting. But the thing about that game is all of their DLC is free, so like. It's an interesting twist on the format.
It's a twist.
Right?
I do want to throw a quick thing here. We're at 22
minutes. Your last
thing.
You got the last thing.
No, I'm just saying we're at 22 minutes.
So yeah, well, okay. That's what I was
if we want to, if we want to pivot into something else for another chat, another time, that might be great. But I enjoyed our Practically Impossible to Title once again chat.
Hell yeah. That's my challenge every time.
The conclusion I have is that people like video games, and the balance between what they want to pay for and what they want to buy is incompre-fucking-hensible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Like, look at us three. We can talk about it next time, but...
Yeah.
I'm a microtransaction-heavy, like mobile gamer. Kevin is, like, whatever gamer Kevin is, and Kendrick doesn't play video games except for when he wants to hate himself.
And that's Sysuck, everybody. Like, comment, and subscribe. I've been Kendrick. That's Kyle over there, and Kevin's
Hi.
The quiet one, and Joe is dead.
The future has come to pass.
Womp womp.
The cheat is not dead. I'm out.